Hey, welcome back. This is the morning show for the next hour on a very big news morning in State of Origin, the official countdown of Origin Week. Well, we kicked it off and within an hour or so, it had been absolutely overshadowed by the big news that Latrell Mitchell has been ruled out. So the New South Wales Blues have confirmed this morning that Mitchell will be out of the series opener with a calf injury, sustained it at training. And scans later revealed a strain that they say would have prevented him from playing on Wednesday night. So Mitchell won't be travelling to Adelaide with the team this morning. And he has been replaced by 18th man Stephen Crichton, with Matt Burton from the Bulldogs to come on in and join the team later in Adelaide today as the 18th man to come on in. So what does that mean for the State of Origin, well, expectations ahead of Wednesday night? Well, this morning, the odds have changed. A little bit earlier this morning, Queensland were about $2.20, I think, outsiders, and New South Wales were in $1.68. Well, that's pretty much levelled up now. Queensland have come in to under $2, and New South Wales have gone out to $1.83. So one change up already, with Latrell Mitchell being ruled out, and the odds are starting to change. 0457 736 736. That's the number. Let us know your thoughts around that. Does it change your way of thinking as to how Brad Fittler operates his New South Wales operation, or how Billy Slater looks at the New South Wales lineup on the other side without somebody of the imposing presence that Latrell Mitchell offers? You can catch up on the roundup with Matty Johns that we've just had on our podcast. His thoughts. Matty was first to bring us the news, and then we had it confirmed that Mitchell was ruled out. It is a massive blow for the New South Wales Blues. So that's the big story dominating this morning. Still got plenty of time to entertain your thoughts either on the text or the open line, 1300 01 1170 around State of Origin. Still a lot of people having their say about the jersey colour of the New South Wales Blues. In fact, one here says, why the navy jersey? Talk about offensive and being out of touch. Why would you ever need an alternate jersey in a series that only has two teams? Can't they even get that right? It's purely to empty the pockets of parents, because the kids will see them and demand a new navy jersey. What a G-up. Well, I think you're right on the second part of that. Of course, it's a marketing idea, and of course, it's a change-up to make sure that you want to go out and buy yourself a new jersey. I mean, that's simple. Is it offensive and being out of touch? I don't think so. Will it be the biggest talking point on Thursday morning? I don't think so either. Eels Muzz says the faux pas by the NRL marketing team is a shocker down there in Adelaide. Probably a generational thing. Having an inexperienced millennial thinking the comment was clever. It's a dumb comment and disrespectful. Look, I tend to agree on all your thoughts there. I just think they completely missed the mark. And I think it was... actually, you know what? I don't know how dumb or disrespectful it was. I just think it was lazy, Eels Muzz. I think it was lazy because they had a marketing campaign and they just decided to roll it on in there without any thought process or any hard work to go down and assess the situation, or possibly to come up with something a little bit better. 0457 736 736. The Warriorholic listening over via our app in Wellington. You've got your thoughts on Latrell Mitchell out for Origin. Morning, mate.
Yeah, mate. How you?
Oi, you disappeared. Apologies. No, you're back. You're back. Go for it.
Something going on.
Oh, he's completely vanished. He came out swinging and just disappeared off us. Hope you get your line back. Greg, your thoughts this morning on Origin. New South Wales favourites again, but gee, I tell you what, mate, it's coming in off the back of this Latrell news.
Yeah, but that's not the point, Matty. The question is, how on earth the bookies, and all of them, managed to always place New South Wales as favourites and long favourites at the beginning of a series, when everybody else is scratching their heads? Find out from your man at Neds how this happens to come about every year. What do they base this on? It just seems completely inconceivable.
It's almost become, well, it has become part of the State of Origin build-up, hasn't it? I mean, there's always the jokes around, well, okay, at what stage do half the Queensland team get supposedly the flu or something like that? And at what stage are the bookies actually going to start with New South Wales not as favourites. I don't know, mate. I don't know. Have you got a theory?
I have no theory whatsoever, other than they must all be based in Queensland and pay less tax up there. So whatever winnings they get through, they're paying less off.
Well, most of them, I think, I don't know if it's still the case, based up in the Northern Territory, because that's where you could do it all. So, mate, I don't know. You don't know. I don't think any of our listeners know, but it happens every year, and perhaps it wouldn't be State of Origin if it didn't. Good on you, Greg. Thank you. Okay, Warrior-holic, you've sorted out your phone issues. Go for your life, mate.
Hey, is it working this time?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Hey, quickly before I get on to the Latrell thing, I just wanted to take a quick minute on behalf of New Zealand Real Rugby League fans to apologise for those clowns who disrupted that game on the weekend. Mate, completely embarrassing and ruined the spectacle there for a while. So sorry about that, people. But yeah, Latrell, as soon as I heard that, mate, I'm a big Blues fan. That I think that's a bit of a, what do you call it, a death blow for them. He's like two or three players out in one, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he is a massive, massive out for a number of reasons. And as Matty John said, he used a good word to describe what you missed there. It's the intimidation factor. You know, such an intimidating character. And we know that he can get fired up as well. And State of Origin is somewhere where you have to let that emotion come to the fore and you play with it. So for him to be missing in that back line is one thing. What he offers is another thing. But that intimidation factor, I think, is huge as well. Stephen Crichton, however, has been in very good form. And he'll slot into that combination so well. I mean, Jerome Luai is there, Nathan Cleary's there. You know, it's just Brian To'o on the wing. Appy Korosau, he used to play with it, sneaking up through the middle there. So whilst it's not a Latrell Mitchell, Stephen Crichton's going okay.
Yeah, mate, it's like, I don't think you could have picked a worse player for them to lose, probably followed closely by Payne Haas, who seemed to pick up a bit of an injury there. But, I mean, I hope we can still pull it off, but it's certainly, I think it's definitely a 20-30% shift in the balance here. So up the Blues. Hope we can still do it.
Good on you, Warrior-holic. Appreciate that, mate. Nice work. And thank you for, well, you don't need to apologise for fans that are being unruly. The question there about what happened in Napier will be, you know, when do they go back? That's the problem. When do you go back? When I looked at it, I thought, gee, they just got a little bit too excited for having the game in their own backyard. However, it will be frowned upon. The Monday morning scoreboard. We'll catch up with Trent Copeland in just a second with the World Test Championship final starting next Wednesday over there at the Oval. This morning at the Monaco Grand Prix or overnight, Max Verstappen won after starting on pole, which is normally the way in Monaco. The 39th win of his career for Red Bull. He led home Fernando Alonso, who had a chance to overtake him in the pit lane swaparoos when the rain came down. But Alonso finishing on the podium again, and Esteban Ocon in third position for Alpine. Oscar Piastri finished in the points, in fact, by 1 point, finishing in 10th position. So good outing on the streets of Monte Carlo for Oscar Piastri. An enormous one, which you'll no doubt see across social media and on the news as perhaps this evening. Jack Doohan, son of Mick Doohan in Formula 2, was involved in a really scary crash where his car caught on fire. I mean, it was just horrific to watch. But Jack is okay and no dramas there. At the Indy 500 this morning, the 107th running, talk about dramas. Crashes were happening left, right and centre at the back end or sort of almost halfway point of this race. A tyre came loose off one of the cars in the crash that was involved, I think it was turn two, went over the fence and landed in a parking lot. So those tyres are tethered. They're not meant to come away from the car, and it did. And thankfully, when it landed over the fence, nobody was injured. Joseph Newgarden claimed his first Indy 500 win. Marcus Ericsson, who won it last year, was trying to go back-to-back, finish second, and Santino Ferrucci in third. A dramatic finish, a one-lap dash to the end. 23rd was Will Power, and 14th was Scotty McLaughlin. As I mentioned, the world of cricket, well, the eyes start to turn back towards the UK. Next Wednesday is the World Test Championship final, and then we roll in, of course, to the Ashes. Trent Copeland, well, he's been plying his trade beautifully here on SEN, and be back again this week with Vossi on Wednesday and Thursday. Copes is on the line. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Matty. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Good. Listen, what did you think of when you heard Latrell Mitchell being ruled out this morning? That's massive ahead of Wednesday night.
Oh, a couple of things, to be honest. I mean, the first name that came to mind when I saw the replacement was Campbell Graham, and that whole scenario, the fact that, name for the Rabbitohs played on the weekend, or was almost going to play on the weekend, and then, he's now potentially going to miss what would have been a debut. Devastating news. Latrell Mitchell, one of the form players in the competition, just a game breaker, and one of those guys that no doubt Billy Slater and the Queensland team were fretting how to deal with him. Devastating news for New South Wales fans. But look, this is the build up to Origin that we love, the drama. It's normally a sickness running through the Queensland camp, as we were into Cam Smith about last week, and then obviously injuries as well. So, hopefully the boys get to Adelaide and settle in and they can deal with Latrell's loss because, they need to aim up after last year, don't they, Matty?
Yeah, you'll have plenty to talk about on the breakfast show here on both Wednesday and, of course, Thursday, breaking it all down after Wednesday night down there in Adelaide. And then we think ahead, mate, to next Wednesday, the World Test Championship final. I had Adam Collins on the program and he'll be calling, obviously, for SEN. And one of the questions that I asked Colo, who is based in London, was how much build-up this World Test Championship final has been getting as opposed to the obvious build-up for the Ashes, which we know just writes its own script, doesn't it? So I'm really interested to see how the UK fans in particular gravitate towards Australia v India at the Oval a week or so before the Ashes.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, greatly had Colo on. He's taking over the world, that bloke, calling games of cricket everywhere around the world and doing a great job. Look, I think, one thing that comes to mind straight away is that there's a lot of Indian expat, people that live in London, all around the UK. So undoubtedly, on top of the Australian fans that are making their way over there for the Ashes and also this game, there'll be a really good support network there for both teams, as well as the neutral fans that just love cricket, that I think want to see who can be the best team in the world. And that's what that match is really all about. So look, on top of that, how great is it that we get to watch six test matches of Australia in England, during this period of the year? I can't wait. And the Ashes, is going to be epic. And this match up against India, some of the Indian guys in unbelievable form in the IPL, Shubman Gill and a few others. So it's going to be a great test for Australia, and make no mistake about it. I think, despite it being in England, you'd have to think that India go in as favourites.
And it's a bit different these days, Copes, isn't it, to the days when tour matches used to be going on left, right and centre, and in fact throughout Ashes series as well. You could finish a test match and be playing a tour match on the following couple of days. We don't have that this time around, and in fact some players coming from IPL will be arriving very late, which is just I think it's just the way of the world, and it won't affect the players. Does it help then going into an Ashes series having a full-blown test match before it, or does it hinder going into a long five test match series that you've got such intensity before it?
Well, I think the one thing that you have working in your favour in an Ashes series is that because it's such an occasion and it is... the magnitude of the series is so huge that the time span in between test matches is much wider than it normally is, say in an Australian summer or some other test tours where just because of the hectic schedule all around the world, it's often quite jammed. So, look, I think it's probably the ideal scenario. You mentioned no tour matches. Australia have this match with a bit of a strange build-up in itself. You mentioned guys at the IPL. There's also been guys in Australia with no cricket since, like, the India tour, way back in whenever that was, March. So, look, it's one of those ones where unique build-up, but the Aussies will get over there, get into camp, and I saw a few of them at Old Trafford enjoying the football this morning. And, they'll be immersed in the city of... the country of England, and getting their head into test cricket. But I think... like any sports people, they'll take a bit of time to get used to it, as will the Indian guys coming off the IPL. So, I think it's going to be fascinating. And then you add in Bazball and what the Ashes is going to bring to the table. It's going to be bloody good viewing for the neutral cricket viewer, that's for sure.
I think it was Mitchell Starc. I love that. You know, you remember the days, mate, when Glenn McGrath used to, you know, almost set your clock by it. Oh, we're going to beat them 5-0 and all that kind of stuff. And Nathan Lyons taking on that role. But Mitch Starc, I reckon, had a real good one that he planted the seed. He said, well, Bazball, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, but the real test of Bazball, that's all very good, but how do they react when they're 5 for 50? Yeah, and that just sort of, that plants the seed, doesn't it? That they're not afraid of Bazball, but they're also trying to get England to outthink themselves on it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There was that first sort of summer where they really started to try and embrace it. I remember vividly playing against New Zealand. England were 3 or 4 down, and Ben Stokes, the captain of the side, comes out to the crease and had hit a few boundaries. And then New Zealand pushed long off back, pushed deep point out, and Ben Stokes got caught at long off. And it put his team in a hole, and I thought that might have been the end of it right there and then. Because you think to yourself what that does to a dressing room, seeing the skipper just trying to slog one off a length while his team's under pressure and getting out. But look, what they've shown over the last 18 months is they're not backing off it. So, you know, I totally agree with Mitchell Stark's sentiment that not just 5 for 50, but 5 for 50 in the biggest series that you'll ever come across, which is an Ashes, at home where they're playing some pretty good cricket, that's going to be a real test. I've got to say, what I loved even more from Mitchell Starc was the sledging of Stuart Broad and that void Ashes series. I enjoyed that just as much as any other quote I've seen recently.
I love the talk. A final one for you. The selectors have said, okay, we're going to, you know, what we're looking at here is this test, as in the test for India, and then the first two tests and test matches of the Ashes, and then we'll basically repick our side, essentially. So in David Warner's case, do you expect, what are you expecting from David? Do you expect him to come out of the blocks as hard as he can against India? I mean, he doesn't know any other way. And do you expect him to be there for the entire Ashes series? I'm backing him in.
Yeah, me too, to be honest. I think he's the kind of guy that's been written off, you know, many, many times in his career. He's copped it from all angles, and the MCG Boxing Day this year was as great an example as I've seen in recent times, where, you know, if you think about the lead up to that test, he'd missed out a few times against the West Indies whilst the other boys were churning out runs, and then he goes out there and scores those massive runs on Boxing Day. And look, I think Davey will have been pretty content with where he was at if things didn't go his way and sort of been dropped and this was the end. But the one thing I've got no doubt that he really wanted to turn over in his favour was the last Ashes series away. Stuart Broad, Jofra Archer, Jimmy Anderson had the wood on him. I think that's going to linger in his mind as that little carrot. Not only do I want to win an Ashes series for Australia, but I also want to just shut a few people up about that as well, including those bowlers on the other side. So, yeah, I think it'll be a driver for him. I think we might see him be pretty aggressive, to be honest. You know, play with freedom like he does in the IPL, and he did really well these past couple of months. So I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest. And I love the flexibility of, you know, having a bit of common sense about when we pick our team. You know, in the day and age of a lot of guys over there playing county cricket, a big squad, if we need to change things, change it. You know, gone are the days where you just have to name a team to get on the boat and get over to England, and that is that. So I really like how Australia going about it.
And I love the fact that we're starting this one, like you say, with a test before the Ashes series, but it's at the Oval as well. There's so much history. Good on you, Copes. I'll see you in the studio Wednesday morning. You'll be there for breakfast Wednesday and Thursday. So set your alarm nice and early, mate.
Yeah, 4 a.m. alarm, so I'm enjoying it. Good on you, matey. Thanks, mate.
Good man. Trent Copeland there, part of the SEN breakfast team now with Vossie, so make sure you tune in to that. We need to take a break. It's 23 minutes after 11. Welcome back. Remember, the Bryden's Lawyers, your verdict. Pick one NRL winner each week for your chance to win $2,500. SENSurvivor.com.au is where you need to go. We'll do Tommy's Tribune after the 11:30 news coming up very soon. We'll see how his headlines went on the weekend, and perhaps if you want to dive in this morning, especially with Latrell Mitchell being ruled out of State of Origin 1. Wow, I just didn't get the sense that there was really anything happening in the world of State of Origin this morning. It just seemed like a pretty mundane kind of build-up, to be fair. And then that news, as is the case with all of those kind of breaking stories just came out of the blue. But no Latrell Mitchell. Stephen Crichton comes in. Matt Burton will join the team later on today in Adelaide, with the team heading there as we speak. Matty, love the show. Someone high up at the NRL must have signed off on the Adelaide ad, says The Real Marco. I'm wondering if it was somebody high up who isn't aware of the cultural disrespect to Adelaide and AFL. Maybe. He says that Andrew Abdo didn't grow up here and is not aware of these issues. Look, like I said, it's not the biggest thing in the world, and cultural disrespect does sound very dramatic, but it is. It's disrespectful to those down there. And if you're like me, that has spent a lot of time in that part of the world, and I've spent a lot of time working in Adelaide and AFL towns and know exactly their mindset, it pees them off. That's what it does. It doesn't buy them in. It pisses them off. They want to go the other way. You go down there and start talking about real footy, they don't care what type of product you're going to bring. They're going to say, get lost. So I think whilst it may be them not being aware of the environment they're going into, I think it was lazy. And I think that they really need to have a little bit of a better look next time around. If they're going into a state in particular that they want to make some inroads into, but heaven knows how they're going to do that anyway, then you just need to be a little bit smarter with your marketing. Let's go to the news. Tommy's Tribune coming up. Thank you, Vanessa. We're going to go straight to the open line. Tommy's Tribune coming up, but we've got some callers on the line. Mike is first up from Callum Vale on Latrell Mitchell being ruled out. Big shock, Mike.
Yeah, it is. I mightn't win too many cockroach votes on this one, but just cast your mind back to Mitchell's last club game against the Eels. He had to play in that club game, okay? We agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, okay. His miss on Sean Russell in the first 2 minutes, I mean, he had him on a postage stamp and missed him. And then the Dylan Brown chip kick through, he just, I think it was in about the 71st minute, he just watched that. He didn't even turn and run, so I'm just wondering if he took the injury or he's been injured because he just didn't feature in that game at all. But there's no way he couldn't play or that'd create other suspicion. That's
okay,
just my
so
theory.
I see where you're going. So that game was round 12, so that was the 19th of May. I'd need to go back and have a look at his performance there. But they're saying this morning, mate, that the injury was as a result of something that happened at training. So a training injury that flared up there, and then they went off and had scans. So what you're basically trying to say is that perhaps he was carrying that injury back then.
Well, yeah, and he couldn't not play, but his performance in that game was way below standard. If you have a look at his effort on Sean Russell after 2 minutes, he would have normally driven him into the grandstand. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going there, but yeah, let's go on back. But I mean, if we're sort of going down that road, then I guess we're not believing what the Blues are saying this morning, which is that the injury was suffered at training and then would have prevented him from playing. But I appreciate that, Mike. It's got us thinking. Thank you, mate, and thank you for tuning in, Shane. From Marrickville, your thoughts on Latrell? He's not going to be there, so we don't know the impact until we know what's going to unfold on Wednesday night, but we do know that Stephen Crichton comes in.
Yeah, Matty, the panic, I think, is unfounded. Crichton's played in the last three grand finals. He's in the form of his career. He's the best defensive centre in the comp. We won't lose anything with him there, mate. Look, New South Wales by 10... Payne Haas, man of the match. Go the Blues.
I like it. You just narrow things down, Shane. Good on you, mate. Yes, how much do we lose? And it's been very well pointed out. Stephen Crichton's in terrific form, absolute form. He's been to the big stage before. So, yeah, but either way, it's a setback. You know, like I said this morning, who'd want to be a coach? Can you imagine the huge sigh of disbelief that they had somebody like Latrell go down 2 days, what is it, 2 days out from the game. Payne Haas was the injury concern across the weekend there. Meanwhile, not much is happening out of the Queensland side of things, is it? Thank you, Shane. Appreciate that. 1300 01 1170. T-Bone Toddy says he's got some mail on Latrell's injury. It's not even the calf on his leg. It's one of the calves on his farm. Thank you, T-Bone Toddy. You've excelled yourself this morning. Tiger Dave on the issue of the jersey says they're called the New South Wales Blues. Who gives a rat's what shade of blue it is? It is still bloody blue. Thank you. Origin training's a watch like a hawk. If he injured himself at training, why didn't we hear about it like we did with Haas rolling his ankle? Well, we kind of did. Just need to get to the timeline of when it happened and how it happened. But thank you for that. 0457 736 736. Righto, let's dig into Tommy's Tribune on this Monday morning.
Independent, trustworthy and dazzling. Time now for Tommy's Tribune.
Morning, Tommy.
Morning, Matty. Morning, listeners. A busy, busy day.
Wow.
And not a great day.
Latrell, hey. So we started to get the whispers. We started to get the words that perhaps this was the news. So did they have a run this morning?
No. So this is from Sunday. This is from yesterday. Sunday. So this is from the Sydney Morning Herald. And Paul McGregor, the New South Wales Blues assistant coach, said, so Mitchell reportedly suffered the injury during training on Sunday and sat out the final minutes before assistant coach Paul McGregor played down the injury, which we now know has ruled out Latrell Mitchell for game one. So Paul McGregor said, as quoted by the Sydney Morning Herald, I just looked at him and he's got no ice. We've been swapping plays in and out. The session was finished and we're doing a bit of kick catch and he just stopped. For me, he's all right. He's all right. I didn't see anything major. Everyone's got an issue at this time of the year. We're 12 weeks in. Mitchell said at the time he was free of injury, explaining, I thought I'd give Nico Hines and Stephen Crichton a run out there, end quote. So maybe at the time they didn't think much of it, you know, run it off, all good. After he slept on it, wakes up this morning. I'm just speculating here. Maybe he slept on it and it turned out worse than what they initially thought. But by all reports, he suffered the injury at training on Sunday, didn't finish the training, and now it's confirmed that he's going to miss game one in 2 days' time at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, I think he would have known last night.
I think
they would have known, yeah. Absolutely.
But I mean, just to go back to Shane's call before, it's not a big blow. It's a massive blow. It is a huge, huge blow. Him and Tom Trbojevic are the X factors that New South Wales missed last year. Latrell Mitchell, his stats in 2021, his origin series, where he could have won the Wally Lewis medal as well alongside Tom Trbojevic. He was excellent. In the three games, he had 4 tries, 2 try assists, 3 line breaks. He had 4 goals and he averaged 150 running metres playing at left centre. He's the best centre in the world when he plays in that position. There's no one that can touch him, Latrell Mitchell. He's an absolute freak. You take him out of the game, and of course it's a blow for New South Wales. With all due respect to Stephen Crichton, he does not have the attacking flair of Latrell Mitchell. He may be a better defensive centre, but as Matty Johns rightfully pointed out with you, Matty, as well, last hour, the presence that Latrell Mitchell has on the field, not just for his other teammates, but against the opposition. If he was marking up against Valentine Holmes or Hamisai Tabuai-Fido, whoever Queensland picked to mark up Latrell, they would be a lot more calmer now knowing that they're marking up against Stephen Crichton compared to Latrell Mitchell, because he is a game breaker without a doubt.
Yeah, intimidation factor is huge, especially in that arena. I guess the key, if people want to figure out the timeline here of when it happened or when it didn't happen. It doesn't really matter now. Well, it doesn't matter now because he's not playing, but there'll be people there trying to go, well, did they tell us the truth yesterday? Of course they're not going to. They're going to continue to
shield. Who cares?
The key is when did Matt Burton find out that he was going to be drafted in? And he, by what I read and see this morning, is going to join them this afternoon. So he'll be on a later plane down to Adelaide. So there you go. Now, Tommy's Tribune.
Well, yeah, but just as well, Matty, just an important point. All eyes now go to 4 p.m. tomorrow afternoon if the South Sydney Rabbitohs name Latrell Mitchell for their match this Saturday afternoon against the Gold Coast Titans at Cbus Super Stadium in the Gold Coast. So do they put him on ice? Do they just say, hey, Latrell, let's just relax, you know, no need to rush it. But then again, the Rabbitohs are coming off two losses in a row. Campbell Graham will probably be named return from that sternum injury. You have to feel for him in this scenario. But if I'm the Rabbitohs, I don't risk him, especially having to travel to the Gold Coast.
Uncle Lolol on the text line has just posed a very good question. And, you know, we don't mind a conspiracy theory here, but he says we're all missing the very big question here. Because remember, Matty Johns gave us the news.
Mm-hmm.
It started to come towards us, and then Matty broke it on air because he received a text message. Uncle Lolol says, did Joey call Matthew to give him the scoop?
Ooh.
And are the Johns brothers talking again? So that's probably the biggest question out of this. If Joey did call Matthew to give him the scoop, does that mean the Johns brothers are talking again?
I think it will be. You know what I'm excited for, Matty, is after game
Friday.
One. Well, Friday, of course, morning glory. But after, we all remember what happened after game three last year when Joey went on his little tirade on Channel 9. And so if New South Wales win or lose, it's going to be must-see TV to see what Joey says and does at around 10:15 Wednesday night.
Yeah. And I reckon it's more must-see if they lose.
Yes. I'll quickly get to my headlines. So remember from last week, the unfortunate passing of Tina Turner. You gave me the challenge of coming up with some headlines with a twist, some Tina Turner songs.
Yes.
So my first one was, what you get is what you see, so don't mess with Branko Lee. I was tipping he would score a try and the Dolphins win. It didn't happen, so it's a cross.
Yeah.
But the Dolphins still won.
It was a good headline.
Thank you. Yep. My next one was simply the West. Now, this was in regards
to... a good headline.
I tipped Parramatta Eels to beat the Cowboys. That did happen.
Yeah, you were on fire last week.
Overnight sensation. So Tina Turner's 1986 classic record. That was for Tristan Saylor making his club debut for the Broncos. What did he have? He had a try assist. He also had a try-saving tackle against the Warriors. So that's a tick. Thank you very much, Jamie. And the last one, another 1986 record from Tina Turner was Jump in Jack Flash. This was for Jack Wyden. He had a starring role in the Raiders win over the Rabbitohs. That's another tick.
Yeah. Yeah, see, hit it out of the park. I told you, you're in good form. A couple of texts. Disrespect Critter at your own risk.
I'm not disrespecting him. I'm sorry. If you had to choose, who's a better centre? It's Latrell Mitchell.
PG says, Tommy, don't wet your pants. We'll be fine. Critter won't let us down. apparently, the feud might be still on between Joey and Matty. Well, that's what I'm looking for. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday night.
Yep.
Obviously. Thursday morning, the breakdown, and we'll be here. And then Friday morning is when Joey's back on deck with Matty.
Well, Matt,
morning glory.
Matt tips in that reckon it was Danny Badiris that gave Matty the inside scoop and not Joey.
Don't know. I mean, he's very well connected, isn't
he? It could have been Brandy, SEN's very own.
You never know. Maybe that's what we need to play, you know. Who's the source? Who gave us here? New South Wales, what shade of blue when Queensland finished they'll be black and blue, says the Big Daddy of Rhythm.
Well,
I don't know what's better there. I don't know if what's better, the sign-off, the Big Daddy of Rhythm, or the headline that you're trying to give us. Probably a dead heap between the two. Righto, we need to take a break. Nice work, Tommy. Welcome back. It is just about 10 to 12 on this Monday morning. Jimmy Smith with the afternoon show coming up. G'day, Jimmy.
What's that old saying, the Chinese proverb? May you live in interesting times. Latrell Mitchell ruled out. Not quite the 11th hour, but, Jesus, it's about 10:59, isn't it?
Yeah. It's been an interesting one. You started to hear the news, and then we started to hear it as well, and then it was confirmed with Matty Johns on air as well. So it's a huge out. Stephen Crichton to come in and Matt Burton will be flying down there. So we're going to have to see how this changes perhaps the way of thinking for Freddie Fittler and also what Billy Slater's thinking on the other side. What's coming up on your show this morning?
Can I just take umbrage with your producer, Tom Costigan, aka 2AM Tommy? You know what happened? I rang Tom and said, mate, hearing this rumour. Okay. All right. And there was nothing around social media. There was nothing. And he said, okay, thank you for that. I'm just going to wait for a more reliable source. I said, well, that'll do me. That'll do me. That'll be the last time I ever call you with anything breaking. You can rack off, Thomas.
Oh, dear. You know, there's a delay anyway. In between me and you at the moment, and I think when you were delivering that little spray there, the delay made it even more dramatic. It was like your dramatic pause was even better. I think he was waiting to confirm the source, but I like the fact that you said it was reliable source because, you know, clearly on a Monday morning, we don't know what type of phone calls you were getting and what type of information. Tell us what's coming up on the afternoon show.
We've got Madge again today, just after 1 o'clock, so he'll be in for the hour. Lots to talk about with the Canberra Raiders. Obviously, the scary situation with Corey Hadaway to Naira. He gave an update via social media, as did the Canberra Raiders yesterday. The Jared Croker situation, and of course, we'll get his thoughts around coaching a rep side, and you get a player that gets injured late. He would know all about that with his time with the Kiwis and how that plays out, what a sort of impact that can have on the team. So all that coming up with Michael Maguire. We'll go straight to Zach Bailey, actually. He's been with the New South Wales side basically the whole week. He was really caught on the hop by that news around Latrell Mitchell, having spoken to Latrell last night. So we'll get the latest on that. And Trent Thomas, General Manager of Media Work, will be along for a chat as well. Matty?
Okay, Jimmy Smith, have a good show, mate. Jimmy's coming up very soon. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting with Zach Bailey in particular. I mean, Madge's thoughts will be fascinating, but getting the timeline of events from Zach Bailey from yesterday on to today. But as we say, the bottom line is Latrell Mitchell will not be there for State of Origin 1 and won't travel with the team to Adelaide or hasn't travelled with the team to Adelaide this morning, obviously seeking treatment on that. I'll just run you through the ladder after 13 rounds. I mean, we went for our mid-season report card with Matty Johns, but it's always good to take stock. So the Panthers, Sharks, Broncos and Storm all on 18 points. That's your top four. Out of that, the Broncos yet to have a bye. In fact, the other teams in the top four have all had the two byes. In fifth, we've got the Rabbitohs on 16 points, so too the Dolphins and the Raiders. And the Warriors are making up the top eight. That's how it stands after 13 rounds in the top eight. Back after this. We are at the checkered flag on this Monday morning, folks. Jimmy Smith with the afternoon show coming up, of course, with Michael Maguire and also Joel and Fletch this afternoon. So make sure you tune in for the run home. You can send in your Monday A-grades. A lot of the talk today and the focus news-wise will be on Latrell Mitchell being ruled out. So all the reaction and fallout from that is still to come your way. We didn't get to this morning to have a good think about the English Premier League and the final day. 33 goals scored on the final day. So Leicester, Leeds and Southampton relegated. Promoted are Burnley, Sheffield United and Luton Town, who won a penalty shootout to qualify. Just a decade ago, they were playing in the fifth tier. One of the weird things is they've now got to refurb their own home ground because it's kind of falling apart. But you know what? They're making a heck of a lot of money by being promoted to the Premier League. So one of those great stories in sport. Jimmy Smith coming up with the afternoon show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Have a great day, folks. Speak to you in the morning.